Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, a game changer has taken place today. That is the Syrian military's downing of an F-16 Israeli jet, which had invaded Syrian airspace. Israeli military once considered itself invincible. That has changed a while ago due to Lebanon's resistance movement, Hezbollah. And now today, because of Syria. Stay with us as we look at this story in detail. And I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. First and foremost, we're going to be joined by our correspondent, Press TV's correspondent, Muhammad Ali in Damascus, also from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker in San Francisco, and the Secretary General of Next Century Foundation, William Morris in London. Welcome all of you to the program. Well, let's start this off in Damascus with Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, fill us in. Give us a little bit about what has happened and now what is the latest on this situation.
Yes, the Syrian army issued two statements saying that it confronted and repelled two waves of Israeli attacks, one at 6 a.m. on central Syria, firing missiles, surface-to-air missiles at Israeli fighter jets and hitting more than one fighter jet, according to the Syrian army statement. One, of course, fighter jet F-16 was down, two pilots ejected, one in a critical situation. The second wave of Israeli attacks was about 9 a.m. Damascus time. The Syrian army also said that it repelled that attack, which happened in southern Syria and targeted several positions there. There have been several reactions coming out, especially from Syria's allies. The Joint Operation Room for Syria's allies in Syria denied all of the claims of the Israeli side that they were retaliating an attack by an Iranian-made drone that violated Israeli airspace, saying that this drone was actually at that time over central Syria, over al-Sikhne, on a mission against Daesh, and that this is just the pretext in order to attack Syrian and Iranian areas and positions in Syria. Israel, many experts are saying that Israelis are now in a state of confusion and concern. The Israeli media is saying that Assad is now with confidence moving from threats to action. This has not happened in the past three decades, downing an F-16 fighter jet. And definitely looking at what happened, seeing that the Syrian army, which is portrayed and seen by the West as a consumed and weak army after 7 years of war with terrorism, being able to shoot down one of the most advanced fighter jets in the world, the F-16, the Israeli one, is definitely a very important development and is concerning and alarming for the Israelis. Syria has time and again warned Israel of grave consequences of repeated attacks, but definitely today we have seen this interpretation of Syria's warning on the ground.
All right, thank you so much for that update. Press TV's Muhammad Ali out of Damascus. Well, crossing over now to London with William Morris. Your take, do you think that the downing of this Israeli airplane is very significant?
Oh, of course it is. It's a remarkable achievement if you review it in those terms by Syria. I don't know whether the Russian air defense system that they have came into play. Apparently it did not, and it was the existing air defense system, the original air defense system that was used. So it's quite an achievement. It is distressing from the point of view of Israel. And the point is that Israel has overreacted. If there was a drone, and I realize that Iran and Syria claim that there was no drone overflying Israeli territory, but if there was a drone, regardless, this is an overreaction to bomb and attack in Syria. But we've seen so many attacks in Syria for the slightest of pretext. I hope that cooler heads will prevail in Israel. I know that they, in theory, I mean, Lieberman's a man I once met, and he claims or professes to want peace. Netanyahu professes to want peace. Historically, the Syrian ceasefire line has been fairly calm, and this kind of provocation is not very good. We want to see a calming down of the situation, because the world has too many problems. We don't need additional tensions and additional violence between Syria and Israel.
What's your take on that, Richard Becker? Do you think that actually the Israelis want peace? Do you think that they want a calming down of the situation, or how do you evaluate what has taken place?
Well, they clearly don't want a calming down of the situation. What they're really working toward, and so is the United States and Saudi Arabia, is to continue the war inside Syria and to continue to divide Syria, to partition Syria. It's really amazing when you hear Israel talk about its right to sovereignty and its airspace was violated. They constantly, daily, violate the airspace of Lebanon and of Syria more, with more consequence now in regard to Syria, and that the bombing, that it's not just violating the airspace, but the attacks that take place. And certainly, you know, the idea that one drone allegedly touched Israel airspace, and that resulted in the deployment of at least 8 fighter bombers to attack Syria. I mean, it shows the kind of extreme double standard that exists, that the U.S. media, the Western media, hardly ever comments on, that Israel can claim that its airspace is pristine and must never be violated, and then on a regular basis violates the airspace and the sovereignty of other countries. And that really is not much of a subject of discussion in the mainstream Western media at all.
Well, William Morris, now Lebanon's Hezbollah has said now Israel realizes that it cannot fly and attack Syria at will. Your take on that statement?
Well, I think that's true, particularly if it is correct that the Russian air defense system hasn't yet been brought into play. So if that's the case, Syria still has something in reserve. I think Israel has to be very cautious. It's burnt its fingers in the past. The 2006 war against Hezbollah in Lebanon was pretty catastrophic for Israel. And it has to be careful. It has to be careful about moving to some sort of full-scale war that could have similar dire consequences for Israel. I don't think that that this will escalate, but I hope not. Because it would be grossly foolish on Israel's part. So yes, it's a new ball game. I think that people need to be careful, and Israel must particularly be careful about its behavior.
Well, Richard Becker, we've seen many violations of Syrian airspace by Israelis in the past with basically no repercussions. Do you think that also has changed now? Do you think perhaps we will be seeing less Israeli airspace violations or not?
Well, I think that there's a debate that's going on inside the Israeli ruling circles about whether or not now is the time to launch a new war. A major new war. And there's we hear reports of this coming from inside of Gaza. Is there going to be a new assault on Gaza by Israel? Is there going to be a new assault on Lebanon, which many in the Israeli ruling elite see as a priority? At the same time, I don't think there's any indication that Israel is going to pull back as a result of having a plane shot down in regard to Syria, unless there are subsequent shootdowns, and there very well could be. But it's at the same time quite clear that the government, the Israeli government, the Netanyahu-Lieberman government, wants to continue to stir the pot in Syria, to continue to seek an objective of weakening Syria, either by a de facto or de jure partition of the country. So I don't think that we have any reason to believe now that Israel is going to pull back.
Well, William Morris, when the UN does not stop or make Israel pay for their incursions, then isn't it natural that Syria has to take matters in its own hand to defend itself?
Of course, Syria must defend itself, as Lebanon must defend itself, as any nation must defend itself, but with caution. I mean, I wouldn't want to see war between Israel and Syria. We've had enough war in the Middle East. Syria's seen enough war. And I appreciate, yes, Israel has been playing a very dangerous game in terms of Lebanon and is clearly thinking about, has concerned about the new strength of Hezbollah, the situation in Syria as Syria becomes more stable. But I think we need wise heads in Israel, wise heads to prevail in Syria, and I hope everybody will keep calm. I mean, one, it's not a question of who is right, but what is right, and what is right at the moment is to avoid further escalation, mostly because the world can't afford it, and certainly Syria can't afford it.
Well, you made an interesting point. Sorry to interrupt you, William Morris. Sorry to interrupt you. You made an interesting point. It's not. Yeah. It's basically not who is right, but what is right. But looking at the situation in Syria or in the region, for that matter, that when you have so much Israeli aggression, basically it has been whenever they have wanted to. Either we're talking about dealing with the way the incursions have taken over in Lebanon or in Syria or wherever they have wanted to basically cross over the border. Isn't it just a matter of time that something had to have happened in order to stop Israel, or at least make them think twice? Understand what you're saying, that no one wants to see more war in the region. But sometimes, if an entity is not strong, doesn't that make it actually that there will be more war, more invading of their airspace, more attacks?
Arguably. Well, and Syria has proved itself strong. I mean, Syria was strong in previous encounters with Israel in 1973, and Israel was also very wounded in the 2006 war with Lebanon. So Israel has some bitter experiences. It's not going to, I don't think it's not going to enter a new regional war.
Okay.
Incautiously, but this bullying tactic does go on, and that it's a little scary for Israel if they're going to get bitten when they overfly Syria. That worries them.
Richard Becker, what does it teach the world that basically might equals right? So aren't we seeing basically that militaries are encouraged, especially in this region, to be strong in order to defend their countries against Israel, which ultimately can mean the United States? I want to see where this connection comes in, because we have Israel doing something, and of course the main supporter of Israel is the United States. So on the one hand, this type of incursion actually encourages more in countries to basically increase their defense. And on the other hand, what does it mean for the United States and perhaps trying to get involved?
Well, I think if we look at the recent history, we can see, you know, way back when George W. Bush gave his famous State of the Union, the Axis of Evil speech, naming Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, linking them together, and then going into Iraq and destroying Iraq soon afterwards. What the lesson that was learned by Iran and North Korea was, you have to be stronger. For North Korea, they really determined to push forward on a nuclear program. I mean, survival is the most basic need of any country. And when we see countries absolutely destroyed, like we saw Libya destroyed, we've seen Syria torn apart, Afghanistan is largely in ruins, and we see this, what's happened over and over and over again. How can any government not draw the lesson that they must be as strong as possible when they're facing enemies, like such powerful enemies as the United States and Israel, which I think are probably the first and fifth or sixth ranked military powers in the whole world? And it's the United States, of course, that has made it possible for Israel to become as powerful as it has, and is viewed in much of the region as what Israel does is really a result of the United States aid and the U.S.-Israeli alliance, which now also, of course, includes Saudi Arabia.
William Morris, where's the United Nations in all of this? Would countries actually have to take matters in their own hand in trying to defend themselves if the United States was more, and United Nations was more aggressive? Where's the UN? Why don't we see a type of, for example, if we look at what happened, let's say, in Libya or so many other countries, they would control even no-fly zones, but We have seen over the years so many times these incursions by Israeli warplanes. So where is the UN in all of this, your take?
UN is powerless, and it's not a major... I mean, we've seen how ineffective it's been in terms of the peace process between Bashar al-Assad's government and the opposition, such as it is. I mean, the UN has been ineffective in this arena, and certainly with regard to Israel, it's been particularly ineffective. I think what is important, and I would like to say this, I think Iran needs to take a new kind of role. Now that it's a more powerful nation, it needs to also take the burden of peacemaking on its own shoulders. There is a role for Iran in building peace and rapprochement in the Middle East, and I think that it's proved a strong nation, but now it needs to be a peace-building nation, because when you're in a position of strength, it's your responsibility to help build peace. And I think Iran can do a lot in terms of the present situation in Syria or Lebanon. It may not seem so, but I think if Iran thinks laterally and makes initiatives, with, has allies in the Arab world like Oman and indeed Qatar, Qatar's close to Israel, It can take steps that will move things forward, and I'd like to see that.
Richard Becker, your take on this situation. What type of reaction do you think that we're going to see from the Syrian downing of the Israeli F-16? Let's start with the United States. What do you think we're going to see out of Washington?
Well, Washington, the Trump administration, the administration and the establishment as a whole is completely in support of Israel, and they are, I think, probably alarmed by the fact that such an advanced aircraft that has seemed to be impervious to the air defenses of the neighboring countries has now been shot down. But I think the most important thing is just to go back for a second to your question about the United Nations is you have to ask at the United Nations, why were there no sanctions against the United States after it launched a devastating war on falsified pretenses against Iraq and then tore the country apart? No one, there's been never one day of discussion, 1 hour of discussion at the United Nations Security Council about sanctions against the United States. And what that illustrates is that the real relationships are, what really the determining factors are, is power. And it's the United States power that has enabled it to inflict punishment in the form of sanctions and military intervention, et cetera, on so many countries around the world, and yet to be exempt no matter what kind of destruction and death it inflicts on others in the world.
Well, based on what Richard Becker has just said, William Morris, if you concur with what he has just said, doesn't that create actually a world that actually lacks stability? It encourages aggression, basically, when countries feel that they have no choice when they're dealing with the United States. You just talk about, for example, with Iran playing the role of peacemaker, which we have start seeing, especially when we look at even the situation in Syria and with Russia and trying to make peace to that area. But at the same time, we know that the United States, along with Saudi Arabia, continues to do whatever they can to make matters very, very complex for Iran and to demonize Iran. So what has to be done on that side of things?
Well, the United States doesn't have a long vision in terms of its foreign policy, except in so much as it supports Israel. And it has a very confused foreign policy and international policy. I mean, it is in pragmatic terms, in some situations, it's in alliance with the Syrian government when it comes to fighting Daesh, and they cooperate very closely on that particular enterprise. So you have this confusion of agendas and in the USA, and I think that the USA really doesn't quite know what it's doing. It's very clear it doesn't know what it's doing with regard to the Syrian situation and with regard to any peace process in Syria. I don't think USA wants Syria to be unstable, not per se, because that would mean a resurgence of groups like Daesh, and America does not want that. So it wants stability, but on its own terms.
Okay.
And it doesn't really have a vision as to what those terms are.
What about that, Richard Becker? We have just about a minute, but William Marsh, just basically a couple of things that you've said, that the United States has not wanted, but there's proof actually that it has supported Daesh in many cases, as a matter of fact, and that it was also part of the plan to destabilize Syria, of course, 5 countries in 7 years, like General Wesley Clark has said. So your take, Richard Becker, on all of this. Where is this going? 1 minute.
Well, if you look over the last 70 years, since the end of World War II, U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East has been dedicated to destroying progressive governments, nationalist government, socialist movements, progressive movements, every kind of movement that was challenging the status quo and U.S. domination, or the domination by the monarchs and the state of Israel of this region. So destabilization has been an essential element of that strategy, a tactic in that strategy. And I think that it continues down till today. The United States would prefer stability, I do agree, and a Syria that was under a puppet government or a government that was willing to bow to Washington. But absent that, and the Syrian government certainly isn't going to do that, the U.S. will continue to use the element of destabilization as one of its tools for imperial domination.
All right. And with that, I bring this to an end. Appreciate all of you being with us, with both of our guests and also our correspondent out of San Francisco, Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition, and Secretary General of Next Century Foundation, William Morse, out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. Make sure you join us, same place, same time tomorrow. Marzia Hashimi signing out. See you next time.